heads down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Wednesday morning, midweek, and a fairly nice day. I know a splash of rain went through parts of, it sounds like the south part of the province, maybe a splash. In fact, we had a caller during Saskatchewan's Smartest Radio Listener in the Fort saying they got a splash of rain for Capel, but that was about it. For the most part, another nice day. Harvest is going strong throughout the province, and I appreciate you joining us here today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. One of the things, and you've heard me say this, in fact, I'm probably starting to sound like a broken record, but one of the things I love about this job is we meet intriguing people from our province who have fascinating stories to tell. And everyone's story, everyone's life could be made into a book. Some of our books may be less interesting than others, because my book doesn't include flying into the remote north in freezing cold conditions. But my next guests will be talking about that. I'm very, very happy to be talking to a fellow who is a bush pilot, which, of course, we know is such an essential part in opening up Canada's vast and remote north. It's not an easy feat. It comes with challenges I can't even begin to imagine. I know TV shows have been made about this, and now there's a book that you can pick up and read. One of these pilots is sitting across from me in the studio today, Doran Wallace, who spent 40 years as a bush pilot, aircraft maintenance engineer across northern Saskatchewan, Ontario, and the territories, 25,000 hours of flight time without a single accident or infraction. Doran, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're sitting there smiling just kind of calmly as I'm reading this, because I am genuinely impressed and can't wait to talk to you about this. And I'm very appreciative to have Dina Driver here as well. Now, Dina is a name you probably recognize. You maybe seen it on books, because Dina is an author. She's an editor. She's a book publisher. She's a retired journalist herself, and she's co-author of this book. So, Dina, thank you for being here, and thank you for seeing the story that needed to be told.
Thank you, Evan, for having us here today.
Really good to have you. So, Doran, I'm going to start with you. How young were you when you decided, I want to fly?
Well, I was very lucky when I was in high school. I actually accidentally fell into a scholarship to learn to fly through air cadets.
Oh.
So I went to Prince Albert for the month of July in 1960, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And I learned to fly. And in that month that I stayed there, I saw all kinds of bush airplanes, including a DC-3, come and go. And that is what really intrigued me about aviation.
Mm. You know, you kind of stepped into the answer to my next question, because I think about people that become pilots. You know, I've got friends that I know do crop spraying. I've also got a friend who flies commercial for WestJet. Being a bush pilot isn't necessarily something that people say, that's it, that's what I want to do, but you did.
Well, I did. I mean, and that was the door that opened to me when I was young. It took a little while after 1960 before I finally got in flying. I did other things for a few years before mm-hmm. I finally got the opportunity. And the first opportunity that came about is I went to work for Saskatchewan Government Airways as an apprentice engineer. I was a farm boy, and I knew the difference between a pair of pliers and a screwdriver, so I very easily got the job.
I hope there were deeper qualifications than just that, Doran.
Well, you know, being a farm boy got you in a lot of doors many years.
And in those days, especially.
Yeah.
So I worked in the shop for a couple of years, and of course, I saw all these airplanes coming and going, and they intrigued me. And I thought maybe you had to be something special in order to ever fly these things. But after rubbing shoulders with a bunch of these pilots, they were all Second World War pilots.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They came home and that was how they made their livelihood.
Right. Yeah. And in those days, there was a lot of flying in the north, but it was all accomplished by those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wasn't any jobs. For sure, there wasn't any jobs for a greenhorn. But nevertheless, I kept watching these guys and I realized they were no different than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have our particular skills, but you can also learn a lot.
Sure.
So after watching these guys, I went and got my commercial license, finished my training for that. And everybody told me I was wasting my money, but I thought, you know what? Someday these guys are going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I happen to be in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Doran Wallace is one of my guests. He's a retired bush pilot, aircraft maintenance engineer, president, too, of the board of the Saskatchewan Aviation Museum, and co-author of the book I've got in my hands called Flying a Goonie Bird in Canada's North, A Bush Pilot's Adventures. Also joining me in studio is Dina Driver, who is author, editor, and co-author of this book. She's done lots of book publishing. How did you connect with Doran? And ultimately, Dina, I'm guessing you thought, okay, I've produced and I've written books, but this is one that needs to be published.
I love telling Saskatchewan stories. I think it's my background as a journalist and a freelance journalist for 30 years. People stories is what I am drawn to. And mm-hmm. like you, Evan, I love telling the stories of the unique adventures that people on the prairies have. And Doran is a person that I met in 2019 when I was actually putting together a book series. The first book was Flight Stories of Canadian Aviation. And I went up to Saskatoon to the Aviation Museum up there, and Doran was the president at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, please tell me some of your stories. And so for this book, and his reply was still memorable to me. He said, Dina, I could write my own book. And I said, great, you do that, but please tell me some stories first. So he did. He told me a couple of stories, which I put in the first volume of Flight. And then lo and behold, how many years later, he contacts me out of the blue and says, Dina, I have written my memoir. It's like, wow, yeah. You did it.
And you hand wrote them. Am I right?
I did.
Yes.
Like, so longhand, I'm almost going to say old fashioned, but I'm a handwriter myself.
It was longhand.
I love it.
His late wife, who has since passed away, she typed the first version of it.
Oh,
so last year he sent everything to me and I looked it over and I sent him home with some homework and said, we need more information about this. I'd like to know about this. I need you to tell me more about this and more about this, and which is very normal for anybody writing a book. You write the details down and then you get all the other stuff. And then he came back with 278 more handwritten pages. And so my job was to put it all together. And then we sat and spent a bunch of time putting it, adding details.
Well, it's a great book. It's a great collection of stories and characters. So I want to talk about, we've got both of my guests, Doran Wallace and Dina Driver, here right until 12 o'clock. I want to talk about a couple of the stories in here, but maybe first, Doran, how important was your start in aircraft maintenance towards your ultimate job of being a bush pilot? I'm guessing pretty important to have that knowledge.
Well, it was ultimately important. Back when I first started flying, there was no such thing as ground schools and very little flight training for that matter.
Right.
And my book relates to that. But because I worked in the shop, I knew how these airplanes were put together. I didn't need a ground school course on a whole bunch of these airplanes, including the DC-3. I mean, I worked on them as an apprentice mechanic before I ever went flying it. So I understood the systems, as a matter of fact, better than most of the captains.
Right. So let's talk about the plane itself. You said the DC-3. Is that what you're talking about with a Goonie Bird?
Goonie Bird is one of the nicknames for a DC-3.
Where does that come from? Do we know?
It comes from, it's named after the albatross. The Goonie Bird is the nickname for the albatross, which is long flight and can safe, sturdy, and can go long distances without refueling, I guess.
Right.
And so Goonie Bird is, Doran spent more than half of his time around the DC-3. Doran, you should tell the story about how you first became a pilot. The first time they just said there was a need for a pilot and you hopped in the plane and took off.
Well, I spent the first three years of my career in the bush, flying bush airplanes. They were on floats in the summer and skis in the wintertime. During changeover, they were on wheels, and that was fine. But we were raising a young family at the time, and we wanted to get out of the north as much as I enjoyed it. So I moved to Prince Albert, where there was wheeled airplanes and more complicated airplanes like the DC-3. So I very quickly got an endorsement on the airplane, which basically consisted of three landings and takeoffs. I had no clue what I was doing, but I managed to get the airplane up and down.
Up and down, yeah, good.
and that was good enough. I sent my license to Winnipeg, and I got an endorsement. Then I got to fly as a co-pilot for in the vicinity of 6 months or so. I wasn't getting a lot of flying because I was the only co-pilot at the time that could fly all the rest of the airplanes that the company had. They had a bunch of twin-engine airplanes and single-engine airplanes, and I could fly all of those things, so they were always pulling me off to do that. At any rate, I was getting some time on the DC-3, and finally one day I come to work, and I was supposed to go do the Uranium City sked with this particular captain, who I quite liked because he oftentimes come to work smelling of alcohol, and when he was feeling like that, he would let me fly the airplane all day.
I love that.
So I was getting pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I come to work again one morning, and I was supposed to fly with this guy again, and the engineers on hand at the time, one of them come by me, and he says, "Is that captain been drinking this morning?" This is 6 o'clock in the morning, by the way. I says, "Probably." He said, "Well, what makes you say that?" I said, "Well, he drinks every day." I said, "If he hasn't been drinking," I said, "he's got a hangover, one or the other."
Right.
So he said, "Well, that guy's not going north." Oh, okay. So he phones the president and tells the president the story, and the president said, "Well, fire that guy." And he said, "Well, there's no other captains around." He said, "Well, who's the co-pilot?" And he said, "Well, it's Wallace." He said, "Well, stick him in the left-hand seat and find another co-pilot."
There you are, promoted.
So there I was. I got moved over to left-hand seat, and we loaded 20 passengers on the airplane away. I went for Uranium City.
Wow. I love it.
Can they do that these days? Like, not, no, no.
No, no.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Again, my two guests, Doran Wallace, who's a retired Bush pilot and aircraft maintenance engineer. I've got Dina Driver here, who is an author, editor, and co-author of this book with Doran. More stories from the North, right from a Bush pilot, when we come back, and we'll find out a little bit about their advanced screenings of the book, and they've got some dates planned here in the province where you can meet these two and get your copy of this book. We'll be back momentarily here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Ready to fly around the clouds.
Well, I've already established in the short time I've been visiting with my two guests that if you want good stories, buy a Bush pilot a cup of coffee, and you'll hear them. Doran Wallace, retired Bush pilot and aircraft maintenance engineer in studio. Dina Driver, who is co-author of this book, Flying a Goody Bird in Canada's North, A Bush Pilot's Adventure. Tell quickly the snow story that you were talking about in the break.
Well, this story actually happened in the 90s, the last 10 years I was flying. I had a trip up into the territories, and getting into the territories in the wintertime when it's snow covered is very, very difficult. As a rule, you don't go when it's overcast or when the wind is blowing. But this particular day I went up there, forecast was supposed to be good. It turned out that it was windy. I got to where I was going, and I found the location. I had dumped a bunch of barrels out on this lake. By the way, I was flying a DC-3 on skis. And we made 3 approaches to that lake, and I finally got a hole, and I landed. Well, when we got on the ground, we found out how bad it was. The visibility, you could hardly see from one wingtip to the other.
Okay.
And it was about minus 45 with at least a 50-mile-an-hour wind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So we unloaded. Now I didn't know where we were on the lake, and I had to walk backwards into the wind until I got to shore.
In a whiteout.
I lost sight of the airplane. And then walking back the airplane, I counted my steps to make sure that I was trying to make sure I had enough room for takeoff.
Wow.
And I tell you, it was one of the happiest moments of my life was when that airplane appeared out of the snowstorm.
I can't imagine. Like, so you did this for 40 years, Doran. You must have had some close calls.
Well, you can't do that kind of a job for 40 years without having some close calls, but people always associate bush flying with something that's very hazardous. And I will honestly tell you this. I had more close calls getting to the airport and home with my car.
Wow.
Than I ever did in airplanes.
What kind of statement is that? Interesting, Doran. Yeah. Very interesting. Dina, I want to bring you back into this because you, a co-author of this book, you are a book publisher.
Mm-hmm.
You've authored some books. How challenging was it? Because part of this is Doran's story, but
yes,
part of it is all of these colorful characters,
yes,
that he worked with through,
yes,
the years. You had to bring those two things together.
That was the most challenging part. Doran wrote the stories by hand, and so he brought all of these pieces of paper, and I would try to weave them together. There's stories about him landing, and as he's coming down, there's a caribou on the runway at the last second. It's like, excuse me? And, you know, people with contraband alcohol dropping out of their airplane wings because they forgot, and they put the flaps down as they're landing, and just crazy stuff like that. So we wanted to weave these characters into,
sure,
Doran's life story, and it was great fun.
Yeah.
I learned more about aviation doing this book. than in the previous four books.
Did you enjoy the process, Doran?
The majority of it I did.
You didn't expect having homework later in your life, did you?
No, I didn't. And it almost got painful at times this summer. I mean, we sat across the table from one another and went through this book again for the umpteenth time. And it was getting to the point where it was getting a bit wearing.
Right. Well, I can tell you the book is a great read. Like, you both did such a wonderful job. And Doran, congrats. This is your life. I mean, this is, you're telling a story that many people, like I've said before, would pay money to watch a movie, and hopefully will pay money to read this book. Because
it's about a time that cannot be replicated.
Yeah. Very quickly, Doran, before we let you go, what is your thought on the importance that bush pilots play for the North in this country?
Well, bush pilots, particularly in the past, opened up the North. And there was absolutely no question about that. There was a lot of communities in the North that didn't have roads to them. There was tourist lodges. There was the mining sector to be looked after. There was the resource sector to be looked after. And this was all done with airplanes. I mean, back in the day, every conservation officer had a flying budget. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't even have money for fuel now. Mm. So the flying really did open up the North. There's no question about it. And well, that's one of the, I'd like to weave this little part in. The Saskatchewan Aviation Museum, by the way, we are one of the last two provinces in Canada to start an aviation museum. And our goal is to tell a Saskatchewan story. And we're pretty new, but we still have some very interesting things and some very interesting stories there. And anybody that's least bit interested in this should actually pop in the doors of that place. And a couple of the airplanes that I flew are now in that museum.
I love it. It's in Saskatoon at the airport. And this Sunday is the first of a few book launch events that you've got planned. 1 o'clock at the Saskatchewan Aviation Museum this Sunday, October the 5th.
They're asking people to buy tickets ahead of time because it will be sold out.
Oh,
so
that's good.
Go on the Aviators. Actually, on Facebook, there's an event page that links to the tickets.
Good stuff. And driverworks.ca, your website, Dina. So that's a good connection.
That's how
to
people can contact
as
us.
Well, the book is called Flying a Goonie Bird in Canada's North, A Bush Pilot's Adventures. Dina Driver, the co-author of this book, Doran Wallace, the not only co-author, but the subject who had the interesting life that really now is confined in these pages. This has been a great story, great chat. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Evan.
You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.